Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. It is 12 minutes after 5 o'clock. Jordana and Paul joining
Hello,
you.
Hello. Happy Wednesday.
So, the mayor of St. Paul made a statement on his Facebook page today that says, no more fireworks for 4th of July.
What?
It's true. He states that he believes there are better uses for tax dollars. Melvin Carter will be calling in. He's a busy guy, so we said 5 o'clock, give us a call. He's just a little bit delayed. He'll be calling in a minute. In the post, he writes, as I've considered budgetary priorities, we manage across our city. In the first year of my administration, I have decided I can't in good conscience support spending tax dollars on a fireworks display in St. Paul this year. So, is he fiscally responsible? Great decision. We can't have nice things all the time. Or a party pooper and raining on our parade. 651-989-9226. Dave's in White Bear. Dave has a message for the mayor. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hi. I wanted to thank Mayor of St. Paul for not wasting money for this stuff. We need money for many other things, to take care of veterans and stuff like that. Now, our society needs more people like him, and they should follow his decision.
I love it. Thanks for the call, Dave. We'll pass on your message.
Wait a second. We shouldn't spend money we don't have?
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah. Yes.
That's amazing.
We need money for many other things.
Good call, Dave. We appreciate it. Good call. Thank you. 651-989-9226.
Thank you, Dave.
Garrett's in Bloomington. Garrett, some thoughts about this?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, maybe he's a Jehovah's Witness because they don't like celebrating holidays. So who knows?
We'll ask him that.
We'll ask him.
Yeah, I wonder.
We'll ask him.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
I kind of doubt it, but you never know.
Well, what do you think? Before you answer, Susan said something interesting before the show. She goes, well, that's like being a responsible parent. You can't buy stuff all the time.
Right.
You don't do that with your kids or yourself. You don't just go out and buy stuff you can't afford. She's right.
I find it encouraging that a government official is attempting to live within their means, right? I mean, if you don't have the money, don't go into debt to do it.
And this is a good way to role model this. Hey, guys, we have to spend this money somewhere else, so we're not doing this. It's very visual for us.
But we talked about this at 3:10. Here is a perfect opportunity for somebody at 3M, somebody at Ecolab, to step up and say, hey, we're going to have a corporate sponsorship.
Right.
This is brought to you by 3M.
It's perfect opportunity.
The private sector should step up and finance this.
Neil is in Mendota Heights. Hey, Neil. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Hey, when the mayor gets there, I'd just like to have you ask him if he checked into contract cancellations, because it's only a week away, and most pyrotechnic companies have a clause that you can't cancel before a certain day. You're paying a certain amount of money.
We'll ask him, Neil.
That's a good point.
Right? That's being
smart
with
your money.
Read
the fine print of the contract. Thank you, Tim.
Susan, Mendota Heights. Now, Sue, you probably watch these fireworks every year, right?
I don't watch them every year. I used to when I lived in St. Paul. But I agree 100% with the mayor. I think the money is well spent somewhere else, and there's many other places in St. Paul that need the money. And I think I think private would be great. If some private corporation wants to take it over, then so be it.
Sue, absolutely. Great call. We'll relay it to the mayor.
Thank you,
got
Sue.
It. Tim's in Princeton. Hey, Tim.
Hi.
What do you think of Mayor Carter's decision to bag the fireworks because St. Paul doesn't have the money?
Yeah. as a former military member, this is our Independence Day.
Right.
This is the 4th of July. I mean, I come from a military family. I think it should be celebrated.
Okay.
Thank you, Tim.
We appreciate the call.
We appreciate your service, too.
Yes, thank you.
The question is, can we celebrate it without going into debt to have fireworks? I don't know. I see both sides of this, but I think you have to err on the side of not spending money you don't have.
Bill's in Vadnais Heights. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Say, I think what the mayor should do is go around to all the Twin Cities Somali daycare centers and ask them to donate, seeing as they ripped the state off for an estimated $200 million.
Thanks for the call, Bill. Not what we're talking about right now, but we appreciate you calling, and we'll talk about that another time. Let's see. Angie's in St. Paul. Angie, what do you think about this fireworks? Good fiscal responsibility or party pooper?
Well, I guess I would say that if the mayor had any relationship with any of the businesses in St. Paul, I think Paul a few minutes ago said that maybe go to 3M, Securion. We have so many great corporations based in St. Paul, and the fact of the matter is that the mayor has absolutely zero relationship with them to have actually reached out to them to have gotten any support. And talk about fiscal responsibility. I'm sorry, the amount of money that he is spending on bike paths in this city and bollards, it is unbelievable. We can't fix potholes, but we sure as heck are able to deal with bike paths. And it's not fiscal responsibility. It's his choice of how he wants to spend the money.
Good
but
call,
isn't that what any mayor has to do? You have to pick and choose? I don't know. Are more constituents interested in bike paths in St. Paul?
Not the constituents that he's listening to, no.
Okay. Appreciate the
call,
Angie.
Thanks for the call, Angie.
Thanks for weighing in.
You got it. Tom's been waiting on the line in St. Paul. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Jordana. Hey, Jordana, Paul, don't people usually do budgets a year before? And it's very poor planning and very poor budgeting to be doing this late in the game, to be canceling it. And I just think it's very, very poor budgeting if you had it originally in your budget and now you're taking it out at 11:35.
That's a good call. We'll ask him.
Yeah, you have a budget, but stuff comes up that you can't foresee,
like
right?
Potholes.
There's always unforeseen costs that
right.
But you have a good point, budget, Tom. Your point is well taken.
Budgets are always put in place to follow. And this late in the game, I just have a feeling that they screwed up somewhere else in the budget.
Right.
So they're just trying to find money from somewhere else.
Good
it's
thought,
too bad,
Tom.
That the people in St. Paul have to suffer.
We will ask him. Thank you, Tom.
Good thought, Tom. And also, if you live in St. Paul, what else goes on 4th of July? Is there a parade? I'm hearkening back to the call from the veteran that we had, and he said it needs to be celebrated, and I agree that it needs to be celebrated. But are there other things that are less expensive that St. Paul does? Maybe they could do some less expensive stuff, turn the street
YouTube.
Lights.
Just go to YouTube and plug in fireworks. It works for me every year. I sit in my study, you know.
Don's in Rush City. Don, your thoughts on Melvin Carter canceling the fireworks?
You know, unfortunately, the money that we're going to save not having the fireworks, I don't think it's going to go a long ways, but I'm all for the decision to cancel it. You know, we are honoring the vets by, you know, having it a holiday, having the day off. You know, if you don't have the money, you shouldn't spend it. You know, like the other caller said, if there's a mess up someplace, well, you know, we need to get that corrected and not keep doing all this deficit spending.
How much does it cost
we're gonna
a city like St. Paul to set off fireworks?
No
Are we talking 10 grand, 20 grand, 50 grand?
Oh, I think it's closer to 50 or 100.
Is it that much? Okay.
Yep.
No idea. But we'll ask him. All right.
I'm Googling this. You take the next call.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Kathy and Hugo, what do you make of all this? Good decision or not?
No. I'm from a military family. I'll say this is bad budget planning. I'd like to know what other events have been canceled throughout the year in the city of St. Paul compared to this. And also, I think corporations pay hundreds, millions of dollars in taxes, plus employees donate their time, their money. What else are we going to ask for corporations to do? And then doesn't that come out of the employees' pockets? Also, Independence Day celebrates all the immigrants that are here now, right? And don't we want to do that these days? Just a thought.
All right. Kathy, you bring up some great questions. And with us to answer these questions is Mayor Melvin Carter from the great city of St. Paul. Mayor Carter, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. How are you today?
Doing well. Some people applaud the decision as a signal of fiscal responsibility. Other listeners are saying, hey, this was poor planning, poor budgeting. Why is St. Paul in the spot it is right now when it comes to the fireworks display?
You know, I had staff come to me about a few months ago, I think starting in February, to say, you know, we, you know, want to know if we need to do a fireworks display this year. It's $100,000 in total expense to the city.
It is 100 grand. Wow.
Yeah. It all included, including buying the fireworks, including the police overtime and all the staff time that we'd need to commit to it. And there's no spending line item kind of attached to it. So the question was, do we want to take money from street maintenance? Do we want to take money from parks and recs and libraries or police? And, you know, we just don't have the ability to prioritize fireworks over those kind of critical city functions.
Someone asked about canceling the vendors that were already, like, because he said this is a little late in the game. Are you losing any money in vendors that were already booked?
Again, the question was asked to me back in February, do we want to start planning to spend $100,000 on fireworks for the 4th of July? And we said no. So it's not a matter of canceling vendors who are already booked. It's a matter of saying we have to focus. We're focused in our city on raising the minimum wage. We're focused on creating college savings accounts to send our children to college. We're focused on ensuring that we have mutual relationships of mutual trust and respect with our neighbors and our police officers. And we've just decided to focus and prioritize those things.
All right. Interesting.
Some people are asking if should we take money from St. Patty's Day parade? What about the funding for Pride? Any thoughts on that? Or are we going? Is this a snowball effect?
Again, some of those festivals are organizations, independent organizations that kind of plan and raise money. Do those things. There was a point in time where we had the Taste of Minnesota here in St. Paul that was raising money and getting sponsorships from private businesses to support the fireworks, and that support has fallen off. We actually did take a quick pulse here of some of our businesses downtown to see if there was an appetite from our business and downtown leaders to take on some of the funding for that. That appetite really did not exist, so we decided not to subsidize that from the city budget in ways that would take from other things. I think all of those other festivals were really excited to continue those festivals, including a lot of things that are going to happen next week right in St. Paul for the 4th of July. Fun, family-friendly, free activities all over our city where we'll be able to celebrate the 4th of July with our neighbors by getting together across neighbors and races and, you know, languages to celebrate our country.
Mayor, if we decided this in February in St. Paul, why are we just hearing about it today?
You know, again, it's a matter of priorities. We've been focused on doing all the great things that we're doing and building this vision for the city. A number of folks started asking a couple of days ago if we're going to do fireworks and, you know, what the plan was for fireworks. And so that's why we posted to answer the questions that were coming in. Our focus has been, completely on building the vision and really operationalizing the vision that St. Paulites all over the city talk to us about every day.
Mayor Carter, have you personally reached out to some of St. Paul's biggest businesses to ask them for some support? Is there any reason why this couldn't or shouldn't be the 3M, 4th of July fireworks, or Ecolab, or any number of big, successful businesses that are based in St. Paul? Five of them chip in 20 grand each, and it's covered, right? I mean, have you reached out to any CEOs?
I'm in constant communication with our CEOs. We've actually created an organization called the Downtown Alliance right here to be a champion ambassador for our downtown. I co-chair that along with Chris Hildre, who's the CEO of Securian. We did check in with the Downtown Alliance to see, you know, we're really focused on building jobs downtown. We're really focused on continuing to advance the ethic of innovation and creativity downtown. We're focused on, like I said, the minimum wage and all of our policy goals. And I think we have a whole lot of things to be really proud of and excited about the momentum in this city. You know, our goal for the 4th of July, the central goal really isn't to have a fireworks show. Our goal, and I'm looking forward to celebrating this country's birth and this country's identity by connecting with neighbors from all over the city, by building relationships with folks who live in different neighborhoods and speak different languages at home. And to be honest with you, I feel like that's a much stronger celebration of who our country is really about than blowing up a bunch of fireworks over the city.
Mayor Melvin Carter, we appreciate the time. We know you're busy today, so thank you for coming on and talking to the folks.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for what you do.
You got it.
Hey, it's not legal, but I've gone to Wisconsin a few times and come back with some pretty doggone good fireworks, you know, for a few $100.
We're on the radio. They can hear you.
And they impress my kids.
Might have to have it in your backyard. It'll be the Paul Douglas St. Paul fireworks
It'll
display.
It'll be a bit of a letdown, but you can do more with less.
And speaking of that, we need to go. It's 527. Good conversation. We'll keep it going. Talk about unions when we return. Welcome back. Jordana Green, Paul Douglas, 532. We're going to get to the news in just a minute. But when we get back from the news, we're going to take your calls on the union decision. The Supreme Court today has ruled that government public employees cannot be compelled to pay union dues as a condition of employment.
Government employees.
Correct. Like, so not us. You and
right.
I are in a union,
right.
And we pay dues,
yep.
And we get benefits. Mm-hmm. So this won't necessarily affect us. It affects government employees.
Okay.
But it's a big hit to the unions. So was this just a dent in the armor that's eventually going to be peeled away?
The consensus is that this is not a good thing for Democrats, right? I mean, this I think, impacts the Democratic voters right now. We'll see.
We're going to take your calls. We'll shake it out with Kim Crockett, who's the Vice President and General Counsel for Center for the America Experiment. Take a break right now because Laura's back in with the news here on CCO. Big news today out of the Supreme Court. Yes, of course, we know that Justice Kennedy is retiring. But also, the Supreme Court dealt a heavy blow to labor unions, saying non-members are not required to pay agency fees. These are public sector unions, government employees, teachers. They could end up losing a lot of funding and see members drop out. Here to shake out exactly what this means, how it could affect you or I, if at all, is Kim Crockett. Kim is the Vice President and General Counsel for the Center of the American Experiment. Kim, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jordana. Glad to be here.
Who exactly does this affect?
Who does this affect?
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said teachers and government employees. Anyone else?
You very accurately described it. And hi, Paul. Hello
hey.
To you, too.
Greetings, Kim.
Yes, this is a First Amendment case. So while I wouldn't argue with the way you described the case, what I would emphasize for your listeners is that the Janus case today was a restoration of First Amendment rights for public employees. And it only affects the public sector. This does not have any impact on the private sector. And that's because under our Constitution, our First Amendment rights are enforced against the government. In other words, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no laws, for example, that infringe on our rights. So that's why the impact is on just public employees. And it's been over 40 years since the court ruled in a case called Abood that Mr. Abood was a school teacher from Michigan who made the same argument that Mark Janus did before the court, which was by forcing him and his colleagues to pay agency fees, he was forcing them to speak and associate on behalf of the union, and that violates their First Amendment rights.
But they're
That's
still
the case.
Going to be in the union, and are they still subject to collective bargaining or any protections from the union?
Well, they're, public employees have never been forced to join and become members because, again, the First Amendment protected them and protects all of us from being forced to associate with any entity if we don't choose to. But back in 1977, the court had said, well, you know, we can't make you join, but we're worried about, you being a free rider. And Jordana, that's what you're getting at, mm-hmm. is this concern that somehow they get the benefit of collective bargaining, but they don't have to pay for it. And what Justice Alito wrote today was that our First Amendment jurisprudence, when it's at issue, requires something called strict scrutiny. It's the highest standard that you have to meet because it's a fundamental right of citizenship. And they said the free rider argument just didn't cut it, and that the reasoning in the case back in 1977 was weak, and they overruled it. So to answer your question on a practical level, back in like the 1930s and 40s, when unions were working out our National Labor Relations Act and our labor laws, they demanded to be the exclusive representative in a workplace, and that includes public workplaces. They said, if there's going to be a collective bargaining agent, we want it just to be us. And you can make arguments for or against that. And they won that right. So they created, in a sense, the free rider problem by demanding that they're the only ones who get to negotiate on behalf of the employees in that unit. And so the unions might want to revisit that depending on how this all works out. Because, yes, teachers, for example, or police officers will still benefit from whatever contract is negotiated so long as there's a collective bargaining agent there. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out in Minnesota and other states on a go forward.
Kim, a recent study estimated that public sector unions could lose more than 700,000 members over time as a result of this ruling, and that unions may suffer a loss of political influence that could depress wages as well. Was this a big part of this, the political advocacy that comes with, in many cases, paying your union dues?
Well, I think we have to, I mean, what the court said today is it's very hard to separate political activity from, you know, kind of the day-to-day work of representing people and negotiating the terms of employment and working conditions. I think we've been led to believe that somehow the political side is more important than that day-to-day work. And we do anticipate that some public employees will choose to exercise their right to leave the union and stop paying either agency fees or stop paying dues altogether. They'll decline to remain members. So, again, we'll see how that plays out. You're right, though, that the NEA, for example, and other unions have announced staff cuts prior to the decision today. That's how much this was expected, and they've cut their budgets. So, but I think this is an opportunity for public sector unions to get very focused on winning the public employee as a customer rather than what they've done for decades, which is treat them as captives. They've taken them for granted. They've become very arrogant and very focused on politics rather than finding out what do these people need to succeed in their careers? What do they need to be successful in the workplace? So I think what you're going to see is a shift to, I mean, if they want to survive and they want to be successful, they're going to have to shift to being much more customer focused, just like most of us have to be in our work. So this could actually be really good for public sector unionism if they embrace the challenge that this issues to them.
All right. Kim Crockett, Vice President and General Counsel for the Center for the American Experiment. Kim, we want to thank you for your expertise today.
Yep, thank you, Kim.
Thank you so much.
You got it. And we want
thank
to remind our, yep, we want to you. Remind our listening audience, we do try to express both sides here. The Center for the American Experiment is a conservative organization, but we try to get both sides here. And if we had more time, we would take your calls.
We try to even it out over time.
Hey, I belong to a union. We belong, but we belong to a private union, and I love my union. You know, the health care is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm getting a pension, and they do help us with collective bargaining. So I'm a fan.
AFTRA does a good job.
I understand that they're private, but they do a good job. So I'm
we are not union bashing.
Not by
no,
a long shot.
No. Just trying to learn. Just trying to make sense. Interesting conversation about the unions. You know, we try to hear both sides. She was from a conservative viewpoint, but people are texting in, say, disagree with your guest. She's dancing on political jargons. Elections are the only arbiter. Let's see, for historical reasons, guys, there are good reasons to support strong unions. Big picture, all workers benefit, union or not. My dad was a non-union building contractor, and I have worked both sides. I get it.
All right.
It's a tough one. It's going to be a tough one. Susan, how much time do we have?
We have time to take this call for about 30 seconds.
I just want to update you. Bill Shine. Have you heard of Bill Shine?
Yes.
Former news Fox News executive, right, who was ousted over his handling of sexual assault scandals at the network, according to the New York Times, has been offered a job by President Trump. It's Hope Hicks' old job. It's the job of the White House communications director, possibly another controversial face in the White House. That'd be a hard job, I'll tell you that.
Is it a union job?
I don't know if the White House staff is union. I'm not sure. We'll have to look that up and make sure that happens. Let's see. Tomorrow, coming up, we are going to hopefully get in the top 25 jobs where you can make a whole lot of money.
Six-figure gigs without a bachelor's degree. I found it fascinating, and we'll take your calls tomorrow.
Good. Paul and Jordana signing off for the day. Thank you for the interesting and enlightening conversation and the positivity. We'll see you tomorrow after the Twins.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.